You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave, episode 2, season 12. And Dave, there is big news. There is big news. The season's off to a great start. And what I mean by that, of course, is our PayPal account.
Yeah, the only thing we're talking about.
I understand the Packers played an exhibition game, but more importantly, people have contributed to our PayPal account. So what's up with that?
Well, so far we have a number in our minds, which is a big number, because we don't roll.
Huge.
We need to roll in luxury, right?
Go big or go home.
That's right. So we're about a fourth of the way to our goal.
Or maybe even 25%.
Or 25%. Now, the thing is, the more that comes in, the more my goal keeps getting pushed out, which is
exactly
great. So it may be an unattainable goal as that total keeps moving. But we had a number of people give, and what should I do? Should I thank? Should I go ahead and just thank them?
Yeah. What do we have about 7 or 8 people that were kind enough to go to PayPal and make a contribution at PackersTherapy@yahoo.com is what you do. You go to PayPal, and if you give over $10, you get a recognition like the one Dave's going to give right now.
Yes. Yeah, so. And some we need to have special recognition because we're especially generous and thankful and nice to
like
us.
Like our military attaché, for instance.
Absolutely fantastic. We'll get to that in a second. So the people who gave this week was Jameis Quintana.
Yes.
Who we have – I think he's played in the betting lines at times. And
he's been a regular correspondent, been involved with the show, really, really good listener to the program, and also a very generous one too, right?
Very generous. Dan Haig.
Yes.
David, I'm not sure how you say his last name. Is Recor?
Well, from here on out, it's going to be however you pronounce it.
Recor. Yeah. Yes, I want to give it that pronunciation. Jared Van Cleve, who I responded back to, he gave $12.12. You get that?
I have no idea. Could it be because this is our 12th season of Packers Therapy?
Oh, I was going with
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. No, I think it's more important. Or maybe 112 is for Rodgers, and the other 12 is for the 12th season of Packers Therapy.
That could be. Although I will say, when I first looked, I thought it was $1,212. I almost jumped out of my seat. But we had a few special givers. Michael Lapointe.
Yes, thank you.
Tom from Germany.
Yes.
And Captain Dave Moberg were especially generous to us. I think they thought of it more as, rather than giving so much for this season, they sort of retroactively thought of the seasons that they listened to, which was wonderful and really, really generous. And I think we corresponded to most that we could, that we got emails from to say thank you. But yeah, we're on our way, Chris. I can sense we're going to a game here. We just need people to pick up speed and to really look within themselves, to be honest with themselves, with the entertainment that we've provided of years and years. So hopefully our drive for guilt, I work for a Catholic organization now, so I know how to feed into that guilt. Hopefully this will keep moving.
Well, thank you to everybody. We really do appreciate it. And allowing us to have a little fun with this along the way too. And toward the end of the show, we had some suggestions that, came along with this little, thing that we're trying out on PayPal. So thanks a lot to everybody, especially, shall I say, 100 thank yous to our military attaché, Captain Dave. All right, for a football game that was played on Thursday night, I was at the game, as a matter of fact, Dave.
I was.
Oh, you know, I got to tell you, I had some magnificent hospitality from Century Insurance, a property casualty mutual company based in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. They have a box at Lambeau Field, and they had a number of people from the place where I work, and we were their guests. And I got to tell you, what's really cool this year in the boxes, anybody who's done a Lambeau Field tour has probably, you know, been in the boxes. You kind of have a feel for what that is. But this year, the windows open, at least on one side of the stadium. And so instead of being, you know, kind of hermetically sealed inside of this box, on a nice night like it was on Thursday, you can open up those windows and, you know, you've kind of got the outside as well as the inside going on. So yeah. That was really, really nice, and they take great care of you, great food, great company. A big thanks to Century Insurance from Stevens Point. The game itself, good opening drive, I thought, by the Packers. Brent Hutley, you know, moved the team down, 14-play drive in half the first quarter. I thought the guy looked great. You were pretty much playing against the ones also for the Raiders. And I thought that was highly encouraging. But, of course, then the guy, you know, has to wind up getting hurt then or re-injuring that ankle of his, which was a huge buzzkill in the stadium. And it does open up a question, Dave, and I've read this now a number of places. Initially, people were questioning, well, gee, you know, Aaron Rodgers not playing in, you know, the preseason, is he going to be ready to go? Well, now I'm beginning to read things on the Internet saying, maybe it's best they don't play Aaron Rodgers at all, and his season debut is September 11th in Jacksonville. What is your sense on all this, Dave? You know, should Rodgers be playing? And secondly, some people are suggesting maybe, given the health situation with Huntley, maybe the Packers need to go out and find some sort of veteran backup in case Huntley is not ready to play. A lot of people not exactly enthused with the prospect of Joe Callahan being the backup quarterback on September 11th. What's your sense of all this, Dave?
Well, there's a lot in there. One is I don't think the Packers are going to do anything unless Huntley is still hurt after the last preseason game and you know, some decent guy gets cut. I think they just roll the dice. In fact, I could see them going with a hurt Brett Hundley. No, maybe they wouldn't do that. If Huntley was hurt and you only go with two quarterbacks, that probably is really tempting fate. Because what would their backup be? It would be like Jordy Nelson or something. Wasn't he like a backup quarterback in the years that they've only held two guys?
That is correct. But, of course, he's not 100% healthy either, although he's been activated. A lot of buzz in the stadium when he came out for the pregame warm-ups in his uniform. But I don't think that's a guy who is, you know, going to be taking emergency snaps anytime soon.
No, I think they will I don't know what they're going to do. One is what I've read and heard is that the sprained ankle wasn't as bad as the first time he sprained it. But if you re-aggravate an injury, I would think that's not good, right? That only prolongs the healing process, I would think, to re-injure an injury. But goodness, it wasn't his fault. I mean, the guy, Khalil Mack, who played all the way into almost the third quarter, it seemed like. That guy was playing forever, and then he ended up playing against our rookie tackle.
Spriggs. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it was Hundley's fault. And he legitimately got rolled on from behind.
Right.
I guess I don't think Ted Thompson goes out and signs just anybody, but I think if there's no one that he likes, I think Joe Callahan could be our third quarterback, and we just do the best we can. Now, when I watch him play, I think he looks – it's pretty remarkable what he's doing out there, seeing that his last game was against Division III opponents, which is – I mean, I went to a Division III school.
So did I.
And I feel like none of those guys were qualified to play professional football. I mean, not even close. So for him to actually be doing as well as he is pretty remarkable. Although I was listening to someone kind of talk about his performance, and they said, you know, it is a great story, and – he's from Wesley College and all that kind of stuff. But really, when you break it down, he really didn't play that well, and he's not ready for the NFL, and he certainly isn't ready to start for the Packers. So I just don't think Thompson will go out and sign anybody for any money, the best available just to as insurance. I think he rolls the dice on the season, actually.
You know, my feeling is that they are going to protect Rodgers, even with Huntley's injury. So it would not be far-fetched to think that we won't see Aaron Rodgers until the season begins. And
I agree with that. Yeah, I didn't mention, yes, that part I 100% agree with. Or at least if they do, they're going to keep their starting line in there.
Well, right. But even at that, though, things can happen. I mean, you smash your hand on someone's helmet. You know, you step, you know, J.C. Treader's backing up, right, you know, pass blocking. You step on his foot and roll your ankle. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, that can happen. Now, they play San Francisco this week. The word is Huntley will not play this week. So if Rodgers doesn't play, it's more Joe Callahan, and then more of Marquise Williams after that, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you're looking to keep one of those two guys on the practice squad, you get a more of an extended look at them. I don't know if that's necessarily altogether bad. So if they went that way and, you know, give Huntley more chance for that ankle to get better, they probably can go into the season then with just those two quarterbacks, assuming that 3 weeks' time will be enough for Huntley's ankle to heal, and then you just kind of play out the preseason with the rookies that you have. I would be perfectly fine if that's the way the Packers decided to go. Just fill it out with the two guys who are vying for a spot on the practice squad. Let your regulars, you know, kind of coast for the rest of the preseason and just go from there. I think that's okay. Not that the Jaguars, who are supposed to be improved, are going to be a walkover, but I think you'd rather have a rusty Aaron Rodgers than, you know, risk having him hurt when your backup is also hurt. That would really get the season off to a crappy start, no doubt about that. Yeah,
there's no doubt. And it's not like he is rusty. I mean, he's not playing football.
Well, right.
He's practicing every single
right.
day.
Exactly.
And it's just, and he's been in games most of his life and has played for the – I see him coming out as rusty. I guess maybe at this level, it's so fine-tuned that there could be a little bit of rust, but for him, still makes him better than every quarterback in the league. You know, I thought – they said the Raiders was improved too, like
right.
Jacksonville
yeah.
was improved. And I thought the Packers looked pretty good against Oakland. I think they're going to be fine against Jacksonville. And they're going to start the season strong. Yeah, I would definitely sit Rodgers. I wouldn't have him play at all against San Francisco. Plus, what is he going to do? He plays one series. What happens if they score? Third down, they score a touchdown right away. You probably take him out immediately. He's seen
right.
time
yeah.
and you take him out. What does that really do for the team long term, him playing, you know, a couple of snaps? So I don't see him playing at all. It's just if Brett Huntley is this question mark to start the season, he can't back you up. Would you ever go into a game with no backup quarterback?
Well, that's, I think you have to have somebody. And that's, I think, what people are writing about. I know Bob McGinn has written about this. You know, do you go back and get Matt Flynn? And in my opinion, if you're going to get Matt Flynn, you might as well get Doug Peterson or Zeke Bratkowski. I mean,
yeah,
or
keep Joe Callahan, right?
Yeah,
Joe Callahan, I think, would be better than Matt, just as good as Matt Flynn, and just kind of keep it together. I bet you they like Marquise Williams better, though. I wonder if there's a chance because his upside is probably higher. So if they keep three, I wonder if it's automatic if it's Joe Callahan. But he's getting a lot more playing time, so they seem to like him better. So maybe that's not true, but. It's quite a dilemma, and it's too bad because this should have been the Brent Huntley month, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. August, he should be racking up the statistics. And he was 5-for-7. His quarterback rating was 101. You know, I think he looks really great to me.
He does to me, too. He looks like a guy that they're going to be able to deal in the off season and probably get, you know, the second round, third round draft choice, something like that for him. And he was a 5, I think. So that I think they're gonna get value on that. It's a damn shame in a way because, you know, you'd like to have him do kind of the Jay Scorgi thing, you know, or the Indy had for a long time behind Peyton
yeah,
Manning.
Yeah,
you know, where you have that guy who's your kind of your permanent backup and he's a safety blanket. You don't have to worry then about trying to find somebody every year to back up Rodgers. But I would imagine what they're going to try to do is what they did with Hasselbeck back in the day, 10, 15 years ago, you know, nurture him along until you can trade him. And I think in the case of Hasselbeck, they got a number one, right? They got a first-round pick.
And that could happen again. They could get someone desperate for a number one pick, which would be a great improvement. In fact, you know, someone like San Francisco, if he wasn't hurt, you might be able to get a really decent high draft pick for next year if you were to deal him. But you know, he's not improving his trade value sitting on the bench right now. That's what stinks.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, what I think the story in lots of ways of this game may have been the defense. Packer defense looked real good. I thought they held, I think, Oakland right under 100 yards in the first half, I believe. And they were, you know, solid top to bottom. And I was, I don't want to say I was surprised, but this is a, you know, they got a decent quarterback with Oakland. They got some good receivers. And Packers played stout. Now, I imagine Oakland wasn't trying a lot of fancy stuff. I know McCarthy said it wasn't a completely vanilla offense. But still, you know, they were solid. And I'm just wondering if maybe this Packer defense is going to be better, well, better than last year, maybe better than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, I had the sneaking suspicion that this defense is going to be pretty good. And it's wishful thinking. It's my green and gold colored glasses that are watching them play. But if you kind of think through, you've got a few guys who are stars. You've got your Matthews and Peppers. I think you've got the mid-level guys that are ready to step up and be excellent. I think Mike Daniels might already be there. But HaHa Clinton-Dix, I think he's not a first or second year guy now. Now I think he's ready to kind of step up his game. And I think his goal is to be, you know, one of the best safeties in the league, and rather than just kind of get the system. They've got first-year guys stepping up into their second year, and they can make that big jump. And that's a lot of those corners that they have, like Randall. And who's – I can't never remember his name, number 24 – Quentin Rollins.
Right. Mm-hmm. Q.
Quentin Rollins to me is like one of those guys that is a good player, but he's not in a starring role. But he will make plays from someone you don't expect to make plays. And now we've got a couple of those guys, and then we've got a few unknowns with, you know, how good and how active will Dayton Jones be on the outside? Mm. He was pretty active in that game, whether he was getting a penalty or, you know, making tackles, but he was pretty active. Our middle linebacker, Martinez, you know, if he can come through and play well, this defense could be pretty interesting. The thing is that the whole thing is our middle linebackers really need to step up. And Martinez, if he's a starter, he looks small to me. I don't know. How can he be successful at his size?
Well, he's wearing number 50, so we've seen a number 50, you know, be kind of small before in the middle of the defensive.
He looks smaller, though, than Hawk. To me, doesn't he?
I think he looks the same size AJ did in his last seasons with the Packers. When he lost weight because the injuries were, you know, difficult on his lower extremities, and so he lost the weight.
Cut his hair.
Right, but he also Martinez is very active, and you know the inside linebacker situation to me is very intriguing right now. I think they've got some guys that are coming on and can play. Carl Bradford, who also has the hair, I know he's on the bubble right now, but this is the second week in a row. I thought Bradford looked very good. You know, he seems to you know, bring the wood when he hits guys. Joe Thomas has gained some weight, which he needed to do, but he's still got a lot of quickness, and he looks more assured when I see him out there. I like that. I like Martinez is very active. Sam Barrington, sounds like a private investigator, always has to me. He looks to be fully back from his injury, and we haven't yet seen CIA operative Jake Ryan.
Right.
He's had this hamstring injury, or maybe that's just his cover for being on assignment. I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, Jake Ryan, I think, is a guy that can play. I was very concerned about the inside linebacker spot, but especially with, you know, with Matthews moving outside permanently, again, where he should be, I didn't know if they have anybody that can play. And I'm thinking now that maybe they do have, you know, three or four guys that look like they could be more than just guys in the middle. The key thing, though, Dave, is what's going to happen with the Matthews and Pepper situation. I mean, right now you can, you know, say, well, we can get by with, you know, the guys that they have right now, Dayton Jones on the outside and, you know, some
Perry.
Yeah, right. That's okay because you're not believing those guys are going to be starters or counted on to take most of the snaps because you've got Matthews, you've got Peppers. However, you know, those guys are going to be interviewed this week about this Al Jazeera report from last year, the one that also named Mike Neal I think that Peyton Manning was also caught up in that, some Major League Baseball players. The guy who apparently tipped off the Al Jazeera reporter, took back what he said. But you have to wonder, why would the NFL be pursuing this after the guy has recanted his story? Al Jazeera America has gone out of business, as far as I know. Why are they still pursuing this? They're giving some credence to it. Is it public relations that they feel as though they really have to make a statement that the league is clean? Or do they have new evidence or accusations involving Matthews and Peppers? It's hard to know, but it does cast some doubt when you're beginning to look at what that final roster is going to look like for the Packers.
Yeah, because is there any doubt that Matthews is guilty?
Well, we've said that in this podcast for a very long time that, the guy in college was just kind of a guy till his senior year, and then he all of a sudden, pops out and is outstanding. He plays really amped up. He's got one of his colleagues, right, one of his teammates from college was caught up in a thing, right? And there's this all this kind of stuff swirling around him. And Peppers, being as good as he is, as long as he is, it just kind of gives you that Barry Bonds feel. And so I can see why some people are questioning, this whole situation. And the NFL is very insistent that they be interviewed. And it just makes me a little bit nervous as a Packers fan that maybe something's going to pop here and we might lose those guys for this season.
Is that really the penalty would be for the whole season? It's not a leveled, if they get caught once, it's half, and second, it's if it's one strike, or
well,
I don't know.
Well, anytime you're talking about a four-game suspension for some balls being deflated, you have to think that PEDs are going to be more significant than that. And
well, I thought they had the same effect, actually.
I think that is what happens, right? You take the PEDs and your balls deflate.
Something happens.
Okay. Yeah, and you get back knee, which is always a good look.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the NFL would do, but it seems like, they won this legal case against Tom Brady. The NFL appears to be very emboldened right now. The federal court system seems to not want to mess with the collective bargaining agreement that is in place, and the players did give concessions to management and ownership in the collective bargaining agreement that gives the commissioner wide discretion. So I don't know, what the penalty would be, but it would not surprise me if something of this nature, that it would be eight games or even a full season. I don't think there's any way of really knowing. But they appear to be really, if you'll pardon the pun here, flexing their muscles about, player behavior, either on the field or off the field. And I would not be surprised to see a real significant penalty coming down on these guys if they decide that, there is the taint of dirtiness going on. So we shouldn't assume anything as Packers fans. I mean, maybe you are going to have Nick Perry on, one side, and you're going to wind up with, Dayton Jones or Jayrone Elliott on the other side.
Yeah. Well, I think it's certainly possible that, something bad could happen. I just hope it wouldn't be for the entire season. But I think it's possible if I'm the NFL and there's been accusations and you say, look, I want you to come and I want to talk. I want to understand, because whether they're guilty or they're found guilty or not, the NFL probably has an opinion of whether they actually are guilty or not, and maybe they can't prove it, but they just want to say, listen, guys, never get caught with this again, and, this is what the repercussions will be if it is. I just want you to see my face when I tell you, because even though we can't prove it, maybe they feel one way or the other. Or it's in terms of making sure that they appear to be serious about all the head injuries and all that stuff. I mean, if you're going to ignore the fact that people are taking performance-enhancing drugs and then also, cleaning people's clocks and getting head injuries, like ignoring one doesn't sort of reconcile with being concerned about the other. So I could just see them saying, look, I want you to come in. I want you to talk to us. It sounded to me like Peppers and Matthews want to get their sort of day in court and talk to the NFL and get it behind them. That encourages me. But I guess the Players Association is telling them don't do it. because you know we got to stand together against the NFL as a union, and I understand why that is. But so I'm hoping that the fact that they want to talk about it at least means they're innocent, or at least that they don't have any evidence that they're guilty. Because you know, I guess it is. It is. If I thought the whole league was just using performance-enhancing drugs, I would feel like it's a big cheating, you know, issue, or you know, who's cheating more than somebody else. I mean, it'd be disingenuous for me to say I think the New England Patriots are a bunch of cheaters and all the things that they do, and yet kind of look at
right.
other
That's
guys
right.
and say, like, I wish my guys would take steroids. I do sort of feel that way sometimes,
yeah.
and I think when I talk about it with people who are Packer fans around me, we sort of joke at each other and say, like, well, of course he's taking them. I mean, look at the size of the guy's
yeah,
arms.
Yeah.
So it's either I should either be outraged by that, or it's just a big compliment that he's been able to work on his arms to make them that big. But it seems to me that having them come in doesn't seem as outrageous as what I'm hearing on the radio or other podcasts when they talk about it. But I just hope they have it, it's over, and then let them play.
Well, speaking of how people appear to be, there's your old buddy, Eddie Lacy. You know, people were commenting when we were at the game, looking in the box, and they're saying, my guy looks as fat as he ever did. But I'm just wondering, you know, is he fat or is he just thick? I mean, I think that's his body type. I don't
yeah.
think he's on anything. I just think, you know, that's kind of who he is. And, he might have lost 15 pounds, but he might be the kind of guy where, you know, you lose that weight. It doesn't really show because he's got, you know, he's got big thighs, he's got a big butt, and he's thick through the middle. I just think that's kind of how he's built. And part of the reason why, you know, he's as effective as he is because he is such a load. And he was effective again in the game on Thursday night. I mean, the guy has had two good games back-to-back. I don't know if he is at a point in his life now where he can outrun somebody to the end zone, but he certainly is able to find the hole and sneak through, and I guess he averaged 5 yards a carry again this past week. I don't know. Eddie Lacy, to me, seems like he's ready to go.
Yeah, I have no problem with his weight unless it's a problem with his performance. He had good games last year, too, and if he had good games every game, we would never be talking about his weight problem. He had two good games. As long as he's light enough to be able to do his spin move, and you're right, I don't know if he can go, you know, coast to coast and outrun people, but if he can break tackles and get an extra 5-10 yards like he does, I think that's more than effective. And then you have your mix-em-up backs with Starks or Crockett, maybe, who
yeah.
might make the team, who had an interesting game. I am not as concerned about Lacy's weight. We've talked about it before, and I said something different, but I'm concerned about his performance and not so much about his weight. But I will say when they interviewed him, to say that his in-shapeness is whether it's an issue or not, it definitely is an issue. When he talked about his own performance, he talked about he was tired, that he had to, you know, that was a good workout. I mean, there's sort of hints of him talking about how, you know, playing football and the amount of carries he took was hard on him. And look, in a full game in Jacksonville, I don't want him playing half the time. You know, I want him playing when he's called on. And if that's more than half the time, I want him to be in shape enough to be able to do that. So he was in shape enough to do what was called upon him last two games in these preseason games. But is he in vastly different shape than he was last year? I can't see it. But I think you're right. As long as he performs, that's what matters. And to me, he's done really well the last couple games.
Yeah, I don't know that he is ever going to be, and I don't care how many P90X workouts or, you know, people that are, you know, helping him. I'm not sure he's ever going to be a slim, thin kind of guy. And even if he was, let's say he dropped 30 pounds, would he be as effective?
Might not be
doing
better.
What they
yeah.
want him to do.
Right.
And so I think, you know, Packers fans need to just focus on, you know, what he does on the field. And it does, you know, it makes you a little concerned that he's, you know, winded. How much of that is his weight and how much of that is the fact the guy's got asthma, you know? So
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's all kinds of, you know, other factors that could be involved with this, but the results have been good. And if we are, you know, looking at a Packers season that is, you know, hard to say what the offense is going to be, you know, besides having your backup, you know, be injured, you have a starting quarterback coming off the worst season of his career, you're counting on a 31-year-old receiver who missed an entire season, returning to the form he had before his injury, and you don't know what that's going to be like, you might have to rely more on your running game and your defense. You know, this may be a different kind of Packers team that we're looking at. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, it's not hard for me to imagine that the offensive character is going to be different. And so what you're going to need is Eddie Lacy or James Starks to carry more of the load, because maybe that passing game isn't going to be what it was two seasons ago.
Well, it may not be two seasons ago, but it's still, I think, a 75% passing team and 25% running, if that, because that's the kind of league we're in. The NFL is just made that way. And we do have Aaron Rodgers, and even at a bad level like last year, it's still passing is the name of the game. So if Lacy can be an average of 5 yard a carry and a long of 20.
Right.
So when there was a hole, he was able to kind of rip through that thing, break a tackle or two, and get 20 yards. If that is him consistently through the season, we're going to win a lot of games, because I expect you're going to have to pay attention to the running game in that case, and that's going to open up a lot of opportunities for the passing game. And you add on top of it what I think is a far better situation at tight end. I think Jared Cook is going to be a lot better than what we've had the last couple of years. Then this offense, can get back on track. Maybe not 2011 or 2010 type of level, but I think good enough. And then it's that defense, you know. How good is that defense, can it be? And the fact we've got a pretty weak record, too.
Yeah.
I mean, don't we have a weak record,
well,
the weakest?
It's supposed to be, yeah. But the issue is, how much have those teams improved? I mean, people are already saying that Jacksonville, who they're all opening up with, is, you know, better than they were last year. And I think teams have made improvements. And, you know, you just don't know what a team is going to be like the week you face them. I mean, this is the same thing every year when we look at these schedules. You know, they could look good or they could look bad, but when it actually comes right down to it, you're facing a team that's hot or you're facing a team that's lost their quarterback the week before, and what looked at one thing in August or September, by the time they play in November, it's a whole different deal.
Yeah, that's always true. I understand that. But if we have a relatively weaker schedule, defense is maybe 1.5 times better than it was last year. The offense is normal, which what do we see normal? And then you get home field advantage in the playoffs in January in Lambeau. That's the formula to make Super Bowls. So I think he's going to be fine. I just hope, whatever his weight is, I hope that he is trying to get in shape, you know, doesn't leave practice, go home, sit in front of the TV and eat potato chips. You know, I hope the guy at least takes his job seriously. He's in a contract year.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't know
if it's
his
interest to be in shape and have a great season.
You would think so, unless he's like a Ricky Williams type that just is like, you know, I want a balance in life, which is probably healthy.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have football, I've got family, I've got fun, I've got friends. I mean, that's the way you probably should live. But no, it lives in my world. He's a Packer. He needs to dedicate 100% of his life to being a Packer.
And you're an owner, damn it.
Yes, yes, I didn't own this thing for nothing. So I hope he takes it seriously. I hope he's striving for that big payday. Be interesting to see if Thompson would pay big bucks for Lacy if he comes off a huge year or not.
I don't think so. I think there's way too many question marks with that guy. But then the question becomes, well, what do you do? I mean, I'm not sure you can count on James Starks. You know, he's going to be, I think he'll be 30, right, next year, I believe.
Well, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, you know, it will be early, or maybe 29, but for a running back, you know, you age out quickly. So if you're not going to commit to Eddie Lacy, you're really starting over at that position. But maybe they think, as long as they have Aaron Rodgers, you know, the running back, they can plug in a John Crockett or Burks or somebody, and they'll be fine. I'm not sure about that. I think you need to have at least some ground threat in order to keep people honest when it comes to the passing game.
And I sure wish they had a running back that could take a short throw and gain us 6 yards on a consistent basis. You know, the Amon Green play where you just, you know, that also keeps the defense honest. I think as a end, you might want to pay attention to running back and not just pin your ears back and go after the quarterback when that happens. I don't know if even with the Crocketts and the Starks that they have a good option in third down.
No.
Blocking maybe, but in terms of catching the ball, I think Starks, we know what he can do. He's okay, but he's not great. I wish they would have upgraded. You know, it'd be Lacey, Starks, and then a really great third down back. But they don't have that. They don't have
They tried to get Ripkowski involved the first two plays of the game. You know,
And
kind of that bootleg on the first play worked great, so they tried the same play other side, and he dropped it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I think his thing is blocking, but I think they would like him to be a little like John Kuhn in that, you know, he could catch the ball for you. If he had to run it, he could. But I'm not sure he's, you know, that multidimensional. I think he's much more of a battering ram in the backfield. But we'll see. I mean, the guy's only in his second year, hasn't played that much, and maybe he'll wind up giving them, you know, more the more he gets to see the field. You know, hey, the last thing I want to talk about before we get to the break, and this has gotten a fair amount of conversation, is this whole punting thing that's going on, the Tim Mastay v. Peter Morrell situation.
Martell,
thank you. He's the guy from Green Bay. Like his dad and his grandfather were both timekeepers, right? They kept the scoreboard clock at Lambeau. You know, he kicked at the University of Minnesota. And he's, you know, been okay in the games. But apparently in practice, Mastay has been a lot better. But based on what we see when we, you know, watch him once a week, it appears to be even with maybe, you know, kind of a nod toward the rookie. Do you think, Tim Mastay, who's also, you know, the holder, for Mason Crosby, do you think it's still his job, or is there a competition going on here?
I do. I think this is a year where it's Super Bowl or bust, and they're not going to take chances on a punter. I think unless Mastay really screws up, I didn't realize that he was doing better in practice, so that really seals the deal for me. I don't think they need to see Mastay play, you know, perform in a game in preseason. I think they know what they have with him as long as he's doing decent in practice. And, you know, once they make a decision, it could be that Mastay sort of breathes a sigh of relief and, you know, plays better just so he doesn't have that pressure behind him. Maybe he doesn't perform well in a competitive situation. But from what I've seen, Martell not only kicks the ball higher and longer, but he also seems to do better at pinning it inside the 20 better. So, if he's a better player, I guess I wouldn't mind them, you know, taking the chance and going after him. It always feels like you can always find a punter somewhere. But at the same time, if it's close, take the proven commodity. You don't know what Peter Martell will do in Jacksonville. You're backed up on the one and he's got a punt. Mastay's been there before. Martell hasn't. So, I think it's got to be a clear win by Martell in order to unseat Mastay. That's what I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of hometown. I don't know what the proper term would be, but a lot of homerism, I guess. Coming.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah, you know, because it's not just that he grew up in Green Bay, but you know his parents, his dad, his grandfather connected to the team that way. I think he might have been a ball boy too, or you know he had some kind of connection himself to before he went off to kick in the Twin Cities. And, you know, I know I get that. It is, you know, kind of a cool story, the fact that there are a lot of, you know, people associated with the team that are, you know, from town, and it's a passion thing. And I get that, and it is a good story. I just hope that won't color into any kind of, you know, decision here about Mastay. And I know Mastay has not had a great last season and a half or so.
Although
his net was good last year, I think he might have set a team record for net. And people dismissed that by saying, well, you know, they had great coverage. They had Janice on coverage, which I'm not sure they're going to have that this year. So I guess I would go with the proven commodity too. And to me, the what really kind of tips it in Massey's favor is, you know, you have a kicker that is right now deadly accurate. I mean, Mason Crosby is as high can be right now when it comes to splitting the uprights, you know? And yep. I don't want to mess with that. Not that it would, but don't want to goof around with the equation anymore. They're already going to have a different long snapper this season. That doesn't seem to be a factor so far, but I think maybe the fewer adjustments to that, you want to, you know, not mess with a guy that puts points on the board.
You don't want your kicking game to go up in smoke.
Exactly. You do not want to get baked.
No, it could go to pot in a hurry.
In a hurry. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think with that, we probably should take a break. I need to refill my iced tea here, too. So it's definitely time for a break. Chris and Dave, Packers Therapy, talking about Packers' second preseason game of the 2016 season, a victory over the Oakland Raiders. And we're going to be back with more conversation right after this. Chris and Dave, back with last bit of Packers Therapy. Refilled my glass now. You know, what I do, Dave, is I use the Pure Leaf iced tea. Well, it's actually the tea you can buy in the bottles.
Oh, yeah.
And I take two bottles of the unsweetened and one bottle of the lemon-flavored. So it's a two-to-one mixture. Mix them together, and it's just the right amount of a hint of sweetness. And what I'm hoping for is that we'll get a sponsor, say Pure Leaf, that is owned by Lipton. That's what we need. We need not only to have our PayPal account, which is PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, we need to have a sponsor. So I think you should get on it this week. You have a lot of connections in the business world. I think you should call the people at Lipton and say that I drink their Pure Leaf tea and be happy to talk about it every podcast.
I will mention that, one, that you drink it, and two, that you feel they're ineffective in their mixture.
Yes.
And I'm sure they will appreciate that as well. Do you just dump out the rest?
No, what I do is I get a big pitcher. It's got 60 ounces. And I pour in the one unsweetened, then the lemon-flavored, then the other unsweetened, and then it mixes itself that.
And you've got to go in that order?
I do.
You couldn't do?
No, it's got to be that order so it mixes properly.
But you couldn't stir
no.
it?
No, that's stirred and shaken is for like James Bond. And then after I drink it, I urinate it out.
Now, do you like
That's probably best. Now, we had a request for betting lines. You know, people love the betting lines. We're not going to do them in the preseason because, I mean, it's a sucker's bet under any circumstances, but especially in the preseason. And the good news is our guy, Mike Miller, is back, and he is going to be doing the tabulations again. So if you're one of the gambling degenerates who enjoys the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino, you will again have your opportunity to stay in the comfort and luxury of the presidential suite when we open up the betting lines again before the Jacksonville game. We'll give you Mike Miller's info the week before that so you can get the lines all together and play along with us this season. So, Mike, thank you again.
Yeah, we're repainting, I think, the suite. I think we're redecorating, repainting.
That's right.
The whole thing.
Yep.
We went through it with the blue light, and we're like, oh, my gosh. So.
Yeah, that was the – I think we had several people, and we'd use the bunk beds. We had to roll the bunk beds in last year, and it got out of hand. We actually had to go right down to the studs, so to speak. And we were able, though, to get rid of most of the bacteria. So we will do that again this year. We also want to congratulate a former critic who's kind of become a friend of the podcast, Aaron Nagler, over at Cheesehead TV. They did Packer Transplants. I think they still do that podcast. But Aaron, since become kind of a business, a conglomerate unto himself. He left his day job and worked for Bleacher Report. He was with Sports Illustrated for a while. Now he's landed kind of back home. He's from the Fox Valley, and he's working for PackerNews.com. So a guy that started out in a, you know, kind of a fan project, doing a podcast and having a website, now is able to do this for a living, cash money following his favorite team. So our congratulations to a guy who's become a friend of the show and has been kind to us when we've kind of chatted offline through private messaging on Twitter. So, Aaron, congratulations on that. I think I speak for Dave when we say we are envious you getting a chance to do this as your day job. So good for you, my friend.
Yeah, it was really interesting to hear that news and think, wow, can you imagine doing – I'm sure it's a lot more – it has to be a lot more than what we do at the podcast, but sort of doing this sort of thing full time is really interesting to me. The thought of being able to do that, and what an interesting age that people who can start their own thing – I mean, we've kind of gotten a glimpse of that, of just being part of Packers Talk and getting people to – listen to us and send us emails and stuff, but to then kind of translate it into your profession, it's really an interesting world we live in, where it's not always the machine that cranks out the celebrity or the, you know, determines on who's going to do what, but you can almost self-create. And I think that's really pretty cool. So yeah. Congrats to him.
Hats off and props, Aaron. A couple other things we want to touch on. Question of the week is something that we've been toying with as a weekly feature, chance to be a little interactive with y'all. You can always get us on Twitter, at Packers Therapy is who we are on Twitter, and you can email us. Not only can you make a donation via PayPal, PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, you can also email us at that address, and you can ask us a question that we can discuss during the week. We have one for this week, Dave, right?
Yes, we do. This one actually came from Mike Miller, and he asks, and this really is a very good question, would you – now, this is assuming this is back in the days before you're married. Maybe we should. But would you ever date a Bear fan?
Mm.
So I thought lots of angles to pursue on this, but I'm going to just assume that this was back before, you know, before I was married. But the answer, first of all, my response thought is, if she's pretty, then I think that makes a big difference, too, doesn't
huge,
it?
That's, huge.
So if she's really good looking, then maybe not a Viking fan, or there was probably a time if there was a Seattle fan in there, maybe I might not have overcome anything. But I don't know, to you, I mean, a Bear fan is Bears haven't, to me, made me as angry as it has in the 80s. You know, maybe back in late 80s or so, that would have been a really tough call. But today, Bear fans are kind of, you know, the Cubs are doing well. They're kind of like Cubs fans. They're kind of cute. They cheer for their team. They actually have some high expectations. I think that's really endearing for them. I think I could get past that. What about you?
Yeah, Bears, there is something that is it's not as ugly and bitter as it once was, although I have to say the Bears have been kind of mediocre for a while, even though they were in the Super Bowl in, 2006 or something like that.
Seems like a long time
ago,
doesn't it?
Yeah, and they were a little insufferable then. But generally, I got a good friend, well, a guy you met when you were in town last fall, Al, you remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Al's a Bears fan, big Bears fan, but he's a good guy. I like Al. And I'm married to a person who didn't necessarily grow up as a Vikings fan per se, but Vikings were special in the Twin Cities when, you know, back in the days of Bud Grant when she was growing up there. I mean, these things can work out. It's probably more important what you're doing the other, 36 weekends of the year when football is not being played than what's going on in those 16 weekends when football is being played. So, yeah, go ahead. If it's a person you like, you get along with, you know, they, you know, don't mind, you know, your bag of pathologies that you carry around in your backpack, I would say, yeah, go for it, Bears, Vikings, whatever.
Yeah, I think it would be much harder the other way around. If you are a Bear fan, you know, could you date a Packer fan?
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be tough in reverse. I would get if the answer would be no on that end, because we probably have a condescending attitude towards Bear fans. That probably could come through in the relationship. That's not good. There's probably an element of contempt. And I remember reading something about if there's contempt in a relationship, that's like a sure sign it won't work out. So I think the other way around.
How come it's worked out for us then?
Oh, Which way?
Well, both ways. We both have high degrees of contempt for each other, but yet this has lasted. This has lasted even longer than the podcast.
Than most marriages.
I know.
Yeah,
exactly right. Exactly.
Well, there we've answered the question. So, yes, even through contempt, you should date a Bears fan. Especially, they're probably they probably put out pretty easy, too.
Just don't do a podcast with them. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. That's
So, another idea that we had, because, you know, we are asking for donations here this year. We thought donation of the week, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the donation to PackersTherapy@yahoo.com at PayPal. No, it's nothing like that necessarily. Although I got to say, Captain Moberg, you're the man.
Yeah, that's the donation.
That is the donation. But we also have some other ideas that we did not tell each other what our donation of the week is. What is yours, Dave?
Yeah, we're kind of looking for – this is what the preseason's about, right? We're getting ready for the regular season, so feel free to email and let us know too many bits, not enough bits, too much Packer talk, whatever
never,
it is.
Never too much Packer talk. Once the regular season starts, friends, there will be the typical stuff. Right now, preseason, you know.
Yeah, that's we're trying different things out. But, yeah, donation of the week, so – I guess that can mean anything that you or I feel is warranted under donation of the week. But it's just, I thought, a very thoughtful and subtle way to remind people to go to our PayPal link and give us a so donation of the week. Do you have one? Because
I do, but it's not even Packer related. I think the donation of the week is Ryan Lochte. Now, I think people have followed this guy, the master fibber and also occasional swimmer. And his exploits in the Rio Olympics that have been going on the past couple of weeks. He donated the gift of freeing me from boredom. This is sort of like that Camper Van Beethoven song when they sang about our beloved Tanya, the revolutionary sweetheart, how she liberated us from boredom in the evenings as we followed the Patty Hearst scandal years ago. This is the same thing. You know, Olympics, I've been watching them. There is some areas of interest, but let's face it, how many heats can you watch of track or swimming before you get kind of, you know, mind numbed a little bit? And then Ryan Lochte comes along and it's all good all of a sudden. Now we have some good old fashioned scandal and hubris and, you know, a guy who allegedly graduated from a college who uses words like over exaggerated. I mean, what's better than that? So thank you, Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, that's good. Mine is Packer-related, and it's something we didn't mention as far as the defense. I thought David Carr – it was hardly a gift because Demarius Randall had to go up and grab it. But I thought the interception, the donation to Demarius of the interception, as he was guarding more or less one-on-one on Amari Cooper, who I had forgotten, I guess, ate our lunch last year in the regular season. He racked up like 150 receiving yards.
Right.
But Demarius Randall went up and caught, I thought, a beautiful interception. I wonder if it would have been called a penalty. I mean, I know they don't heat preseason, regular season, but, you know, if they call it a bit closer. But, I mean, it was very close. And even though I don't think it was a push enough that it should have been a penalty, it certainly looked as if it could have been a penalty. But he had a great kept his eye on the ball the whole time. He had a great grab. And, you know, it's his turn to step up. If he could be the equivalent of Sam Shields, much less maybe even be better than Sam Shields, then, I mean, our defense could be something special.
Now, did you say David Carr? It was Derek Carr.
I meant Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
What, there is a David Carr, though, right?
Yeah, he was a first-round draft choice of the Texans, I believe.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's right.
But it's his brother. It's his older brother. It's Derek Carr's older brother.
So Derek Carr, he played with Devontae Adams.
Correct. That is correct, yep.
Right.
And he's a better quarterback than his brother is. But that's just my opinion. But that was a donation of the week. But I have a question for you about that play. Now, besides the push-off, which it did look like it was he touched when he was down? Because he had a great run back then. Randall got up and returned it 30, 40 yards. But they said he was down by contact. I looked at that replay a couple times. Was he touched, or maybe the legs brushed or something like that? What was your opinion on that? It didn't look to me like he was touched.
So when I saw it live, I thought he wasn't touched, and there he goes, and it was a great return. But then I thought on the replay, I thought he caught it. He, as he fell, I thought Cooper had touched him on the way down. So I don't know when you secure the ball, like as you catch it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
As you land, like that's the interception as you land, or is it the moment your two hands are on it? Because I thought it was when you catch it with your two hands, because then I thought he did touch his jersey on his way down. But he didn't touch him when he was on the ground as he got up. No. So I think that's still a tackle, though.
Yeah, I guess technically it is, but it just didn't seem like that he had fully secured it, and it looked like Cooper just kind of, you know, gave up, and if there was contact, it was incidental. But I guess that's probably enough, right? It doesn't have to be intentional. If you touch the guy, you touch the guy.
Right, right. Well, yes, and so that I don't understand. They do that once in a while where I know, like, when I play volleyball and someone hits the ball, it's going out of bounds, the person will chase after it, even though it's, like, three rows into the stands. They will, like, run after it on the off chance that they could get it and flip it back. But a lot of times, like in the NFL, if a guy intercepts it, they don't, like, secure the guy, make sure he's down. A lot of times they just do it very nonchalant. Maybe that's because college, you know, they're used to guys, when they hit the ground, they're down.
Oh, yeah, right.
But you would think he would smother Demarius, just make sure you know he's down, right? They don't do that a lot, but so maybe that was the donation of the week that the refs gave to the Raiders, and that should have been an interception return.
They were playing with eight referees too during the game. I didn't notice that one of the guys that I was with in the Century Insurance box is also a Division I referee. And so we're watching the game, and the guy comes over and says, "Did you notice they have eight referees out there?" I said, "No, I never look at the referees."
No.
And as it was, I never count them, that's for sure. And he was like perplexed as to why they had eight guys. Well, it turns out they had somebody from the Canadian Football League. It must be some exchange deal they got going on. So
how many are there normally? Six?
Seven. Typically seven. And you think with all those people out there, they get the call right, but. Anyway, regardless, those are the donations of the week, a Packers Therapy feature that it's our subtle way of reminding you that we are taking donations at PayPal, PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. Okay. We also had an idea that was offered to us for people that do participate. What we said we would do is if you make a donation via PayPal, we do a special podcast for you. But we had a different idea that was offered to us by one of the donors. And Dave, you want to share that idea?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. They had talked about instead of a podcast that we would do a T-shirt. And that's as far as the idea went. I suppose if we just gave a T-shirt to people who gave, then that cuts into our profit, which
is not good.
It's been a while since my economics courses. But yeah, we're really focused on the revenue side of things, and the expense is what we're trying to keep pretty close to probably zero. Rounded to zero.
I think zero. And the other part of it is the effort part of it, which I guess is also an expense. Dave and I have a proud tradition of not preparing for the podcast under any circumstances whatsoever. And this would involve us actually putting forth effort, kind of a non-starter, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think every year we budget, you know, go through a budget for Packers Therapy, and for the 12th year in a row, our actual expense and effort expense is budgeted at zero. Yep. I think it'll stay. Every year I think we increase it by 3%.
That's true.
Zero times 3%.
It's our cost of living adjustment, sure.
That's right. We do that. Actually, I mean, I love the idea. I would love the idea of having T-shirts that we'd make and that there would be people around the world wearing it. I would wear it if I had one. And I do have a couple that Dr. Klaus made us for his visit. So I wear those. They're very specific. They have the dates of when we visit, and they're very cool. So if that were an idea, if there's someone of our 7,000-8,000 listeners or whatever it was that are in the T-shirt business and knows how to do it and could
slap a logo on some cotton. Yeah.
Yes, I mean we can provide the logo for the
no problem.
And the ideas. I'd put effort into ideas around it, but I mean we would need a substantial effort backer in order for that to happen. But if there's someone out there, we got our music that way. We've got our betting lines tabulated that way. We've had other people help trips to Norway that way.
That's
yes. Hopefully a trip to Lambeau. So, you know, if anyone out there who is willing to put some effort in any capacity, I think we are very open to ideas. So if people think that's a great idea or not, feel free to email us and let us know.
All right. So kind of blew through those ideas. Before we get to the pop culture segment, which you always wrap up the podcast with, we got a passel of email and Twitter connections.
Wait, a what?
Passel.
I don't know if that's a lot or a little.
Okay, well, you can look it up because I'm going to go through these people here now, and you can be busy, you know, figuring that out on Google. So,
passel?
Yeah, passel. All right. Yeah.
All right, I'm looking at it. No, go ahead.
You're going to do that. We earlier in the program, I think we might have acknowledged, or maybe we haven't yet, the fact that you know, our personal the admiral of Packers therapy, he currently has the title of senior chief, but for us he's the admiral. He's in the Navy, not the Village People situation. No, Chief Tom, senior Chief Tom, in Japan now. I guess he was actually 54 days out at sea. It made me think of that Martin Mull song, you know, about men. It's a ship all filled with men. Yeah, it's not a good situation, Tom.
So pass all men?
Yeah, probably, you know, probably. Lots of men. Anyway, congratulations on your promotion to senior chief. I know that Crazy Horse and Geronimo were thrilled when they became senior chief, and you're following in that same proud tradition, Tom, so congratulations on that. The Untrollable Nick, guy who's been following this podcast for a long time, was in touch with us and suggested that we look into patreon.com instead of having a PayPal account, and that is a good idea. In fact, my number two son, the one who's responsible for our Packers Therapy logo, also suggested the same thing, and we'll look into that for next year. We're going to stick with PayPal this year, but maybe we'll go to the patreon.com situation. So thank you for that. Untrollable Nick. Also, Zevlin, I think this is Z-Y-V-L-Y-N, also in touch with us, apparently is a fan of the betting lines. If Mike has a stroke or a heart attack, I guess Zevlin has agreed to take on the task of tabulating all of those. I think we should call Mike Miller. We should call him just the tabulator.
Right.
He will be our superhero,
and he'll be back.
He'll be back. The tabulator. Yeah. Patrick Keough, also in touch with us on Twitter this week. Our Irish. We can probably get more than one Irish listener, but Patrick in touch, and thank you for that as well. And Alex Wagner. Also, so thank you everyone who was in touch with us at Packers Therapy on Twitter and also via email. Greg X, the real Greg X, as a matter of fact, whose handle is Hi Hungry I'm Dad, which I'm not exactly sure the reference there, but it was good to hear from you, Greg, as well this week. We do appreciate that. We mentioned Jameis was in touch with his gift, and Tom's Music Shop in Germany. That's very cool and also a very nice gift to us and an email that came along with it. So thank you for corresponding with us. You can do that at the same address. You can hit us at PayPal, and that's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. And also at Twitter, which is a really good way because 140 characters about the extent of my concentration, at PackersTherapy on Twitter. So, Dave, pop culture time, unless you have something from your Google searching.
I did find it. Yeah, it wasn't my original spelling, okay. But I did get a college education. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
And actually, my daughter just started college this week.
You are getting old, my friend.
Man, oh man! Although I am this week, I'm having a birthday, and yes.
Can I tell people how old, or would you rather not?
Well, I'll tell in the story. I kid you not. I was really bummed because I thought, man, I'm turning 48.
Ooh.
And that is really close to 50. And then my wife reminded me, no, I'm turning 47.
Which is much better.
Oh, I tell you, like I gained a year. I honestly thought I was turning 48. I'm turning 47. And that made me feel much, much better. So thanks to my wife for making me feel younger every day.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But my daughter makes me feel older every day. And but it was I went through a big life event this last week with her going to college. That's a gut wrencher.
Were there
although
tears?
Yeah. And but she is literally going to college like 5 minutes away.
Still, yeah.
So she I mean, it was like the whole thing, and I just saw her just an hour ago. So their tears were real, but probably not as harsh as they would have been if we'd have dropped her off in Ohio or something. But anyway, pop culture, I just finished season two of a series that I probably mentioned when I watched season one, is Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix, it's a Netflix show. It's very, very good. If you haven't started it, so you have two seasons on Netflix to watch. It's probably about 11 or 12 episodes a season. It starts off kind of slow, and then it becomes very good. It's like just one 12-hour movie, you know, the whole season. And I loved it. I finished yesterday. It didn't wrap up, so I assume that there's a season three. I've got the stupid passel in front of me. Season three. And it's excellent. So if you're looking for something to watch, binge watch, Bloodline is very, very good. Have you watched it?
I've not. I have heard of the show, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. And I just started now a new one called Stranger Things. I think it's Stranger Things.
Right.
That's been getting a lot of buzz. And I just started it now that I finished Bloodline. And I think I'm going to like it. It's like kind of a combination of E.T. and Goonies and kind of that back in the 80s where the kids find something extraterrestrial or something supernatural and they have to kind of deal with it as their young kids. That sounds kind of fun, so I'm going to watch that next.
Well, Senior Chief Tom is suggesting that on Twitter. He hit us a couple days ago and suggested Stranger Things on Netflix as well. So we got a couple of recommendations on that one. I'm going to go with a Hulu show that you can binge watch the entire first season called The Path, and it stars Aaron Paul, who a lot of people will remember from Breaking Bad.
The cult one.
Yes, it is. It is the cult one, but it's not as ham-hocked as some of the cult shows like The Following, which I made it through two seasons of that, and I think I stuck with it mainly because I was in so deep. I decided just to keep going with it, but I thought that was pretty weak after the first season in particular. Maybe I'll feel a way about The Path too, but it's a little more, in my opinion, a little more nuanced take on a cult, and raises the question of what is and isn't a cult, and what are the differences between cults and maybe just, you know, organized faith groups. So I do recommend that. Aaron Paul's a terrific actor. He's more than just Jesse Pinkman. So definitely check that one out, The Path. It's available on Hulu.
So is following the Packers a cult by a definition that you would have in your head?
Well, you know, this is the kind of discussion you can have about these things, because there's a certain language, there's a sort of an in and out. People, you know, get shunned if they don't have the right orthodoxy on some of these kinds of questions. But I think most people have a better perspective on the Packers. At least I think so. That is, until I listen to the post-game show, and then I'm leaning toward cult. I mean, there are some people out there that, you know, I mean, hell, this is me, right? A guy with a podcast saying that some people are way too serious about their Packers. But there are some people that are way too serious about their Packers. I mean, that's his kind of the way I view that. So, yeah, I guess in a way it kind of is, but maybe on a spectrum of cult, it's maybe more toward the less dangerous kind, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know if you looked at the strict definition, but if you go in my office, Packers stuff everywhere. If you go in my closet, Packers stuff everywhere.
I've never gone in the closet, Dave. Ever since the incident, I've never gone back, so.
Yeah, that was a totally different cult.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, and I have a podcast. It's Sunday at 2:30, and it's like 80 degrees outside. I'm sitting inside. In the podcast, if the game was on right now on a Sunday, I'd be inside watching in my basement in the dark. You know, there's a lot of cultish type things around it. That's probably a good question of the week. But
do you light votive candles during the Packer game?
You know, if I thought it would help, I would. If I thought that would make Eddie Lacy, get the first down or something, yeah, I'd do a lot. So, and you would too, I'm sure.
There is no question about that. And it's one of the great things about being a Packers fan. Well, was that Lambeau this week? I was thinking about that as I was, walking to and from the stadium and all the hoopla that goes on surrounding Packers football and how people get into it, how it transforms certainly that section of Green Bay. How it is such an event. It's a celebration. And that's just a preseason game. You can go to regular season games like we did with Dr. Klaus last year. You really get an appreciation of how much enjoyment this brings to people, how much of an application it is for so many. And the fact that we've been doing this now for 12 years. The daughter you just sent off to college, she was just going into first grade when we started doing this thing all those years ago. So, that's how this Packer thing has a grip on us and the people who are still listening to this podcast at this point. It's obviously got a grip on them too. And it's something that we can all share and enjoy and also wonder about, how is it to be a fan of a different team? Do they feel the way Packer fans do about their team? There's so many podcasts and merchandise and all kinds of things associated with Packers football. Makes you wonder, if you were a fan of the, San Diego Chargers, would there be this same kind of tight, close-knit, national, international feeling about your team? I'm not sure that there is. Maybe with some of the traditional franchises, Bears, Giants, maybe some of that, Steelers, but man, there's something special about being a Packers fan, and it's great to be on this side of the cult. It really is.
Yeah, it is, because I think starting it, I'd hate to belong to a club that doesn't need me, that is so big and already established, and, it almost cliche, be a Packer fan. Well, I was there when it's like, I feel when it, at least I started, maybe not when the Packer fandom started, but I go back to when they were terrible and I rose through the Brett Favre years and so forth. And so I feel like I belong. Now that doesn't mean the people like Dr. Klaus who came later, should enjoy it too. I just don't know if I was going to pick one, if I'd want to be in one that's already so far along in its cultish behavior, I guess. So but now that I'm inside, it's great. It's so fun. It feels like people that we got to know are so nice. Going to games, you probably don't get the profanity and stuff that you might get if you were at an Eagles game or something like that. I imagine it's safe to take your family to a Packers game. I don't know if you saw, do you see any bad behavior when you're there?
I did not see any bad behavior, but I did see the next day in the press that there were a certain number of, arrests and people getting escorted out, because people are there drinking for hours beforehand. And, it does exist. It's not perfect. But what really struck me, Dave, again, walking in and out of the stadium, the amount of, families, and maybe it's because, it's also preseason and it's summertime and school in America is not in session yet, there were just a lot of kids and a lot of families there. And maybe they get the tickets because the regular season ticket holders, don't come to these games. And so they give them away to their kids and their kids bring their kids and that sort of thing. But it really was a very family oriented kind of place. And the Packers encouraged that and they set it up that way. It is nice. But it makes you wonder, will we still have as deep of feelings, and you and I probably will because we lived through some dark times, but how many of these fans who've never lived through periods like the 70s and the 80s, when Aaron Rodgers either, gets hurt and is done or decides to hang it up and go to Canton, will people still have this kind of feeling about their Green Bay Packers when, you have a guy like Joe Callahan as your starting quarterback? And they don't win all the time, and they're not always in the mix at the end of the season. It makes you wonder.
Yeah. I mean, it's more stuff to talk about, right? If you're a Chargers therapy, I wonder, they lose a lot more, so there's a lot more to be angry about, a lot more coaching changes to talk about. It's more fun to win. And I expect, based on what I've seen so far, I expect more wins than losses this season. I just do. I don't care if Nelson comes back healthy or the way he was, or Matthews plays. I think this team is good pretty much all the way around, and I'm looking forward to this season.
You know, every season, though, that we've done this podcast, maybe not 2005, because that was the first season that we did it, but every season since, we've come into with an expectation they're going to win more games than they lose, and they're going to be in the discussion for the postseason, if not the Super Bowl. And what a luxury that is. You know, that makes it a lot more interesting to be a fan when, you know, you're not wondering if they'll have a 500 record, and, you know, you're pretty sure that your team is a contender every year. What will that be like when the future is less certain, when Elliot Wolf is the general manager and somebody else who we don't know is the coach, and, you know, the quarterback is Philip Rivers or somebody like that, and not a bad quarterback, but not Aaron Rodgers. Although I will say this for Philip Rivers, he has many, many children. So he's got that going for him, if nothing else. All right.
Speaking of cult, leave it on that note.
I believe he's Catholic.
Well, he married a Bear fan, probably.
He might have, and I believe he's Catholic, which maybe I think is why he has.
Oh, well, that yeah, there's yeah. restrictions there.
Well, yeah, sorry. Yeah, true. But we'll have more of that on Chargers Therapy that Dave and I will be doing after we wrap up this podcast, which we're going to do right now, as a matter of fact. Packers undefeated in the preseason, for what that's worth. It's been intriguing so far. They got two road games coming up. San Francisco coming up this week, and then Dave, last week is Kansas City, correct? It's the last fake game before the real games start on September 11th when the Packers will play the Jaguars of Jacksonville. But we'll be back in the meantime with a couple of more podcasts before we get to those real games. Until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy. I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.